Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Marcellaro, and this week my guest is Nightcap camera developer Chris Wood. Chris, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, and thank you for welcoming me.
It's nice to have you on the show. I have been familiar with the Nightcap camera app for some time, although I'm not as active amateur astronomer as I used to be. I have a copy that you introduced me to a while back because I was interested in low-light photography. So just for the listeners, I want to introduce you real quick. You're the developer of the iOS photography app called Nightcap Camera, an app that specializes in low-light photography, be it terrestrial or astronomical.
So before we get into
technical detail about that app, which I think is fascinating, just briefly tell the listeners, kind of set the stage, what Nightcap Camera is all about and how much it costs.
Yes, so it's a camera app for iPhone and iPad. And as you've already said, it's designed mainly for low light and nighttime photography. It's very good for astronomy as a result. And it's basically pushes the iPhone as far as possible for best results in low light. It supports photo, video mode, and also time-lapse.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, it's a really nifty app, and I have a friend who has been on the show recently, Mike Wiesner, and he clued me into the app and got me into it, and I think he was a beta tester for you.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he's been a beta tester for a number of years, and yeah, actually, Mike is pretty much the perfect beta tester.
Yeah, he is picky. He finds everything.
Yeah, he does. But it not just that. He uses the app extensively as well. Yes. And of course, as you know, he's a very keen astronomer and astrophotographer.
Right.
So he knows what he's doing. He uses the app a lot. And any rare issues, he's likely to find them. But as well as that, he really understands software. And when he offers some criticism or suggestions, it's always useful, which means it's really good to have him on the team because it's very hard to find good advice and good feedback. It's very, very easy to find any feedback, but very, very hard to find really good
feedback. Yeah, as you said, when somebody's at the telescope most every night, every clear night, they really get to know the ins and outs of an app.
Yes.
Well, before we get into those ins and outs, I want to ask you some questions about your career in the development of the app.
Okay, yes.
Tell me what inspired you and what led up to the development of Nightcap Camera.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't actually start off as a programmer. Computers have always been a big part of my life, but since when I was very young. So it was probably inevitable I was going to work with computers. But I was working in IT initially, network management, that kind of thing. And actually, I never thought I'd be a programmer. I did a master's degree in computing for e-commerce, and there were bits of programming databases and so on in that. And even then, I found I didn't really like those bits, and I found network technology, things like that, much more interesting. I think somehow programming didn't click for me for a long time. It was something I could do, but it didn't feel natural. But on the other hand, I've always been interested in creative programming, anything graphical, especially real-time graphics. And that's also been a bit of a hobby for me. I learned some PHP and JavaScript building websites. But then the App Store came out. And at the time, I had a first-generation iPhone. And this was absolutely fascinating for me because the iPhone's a very graphical device. And devices, mobiles especially, but also PDAs and things before that, they weren't very graphical. And the iPhone, although it had quite limited hardware, it was powerful enough to do some really impressive things. And it was amazing what Apple squeezed out of it. And I think the App Store just really opened that up to everyone.
So you started learning Xcode and Objective-C,
point blank,
right?
Yeah, back in 2008. And I built purely for fun, really, because I wanted to see how it all worked. I made a very simple app just for splitting bills between friends, uploaded it to the store, and put it on sale for $1. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, splitting restaurant bills?
Yes, yes.
Oh, cool.
And some people seem to like it. It didn't sell much. I mean, we're talking coffee money, but it felt great to make any money at all because I had no expectations. And I think that really gave me a taste. So from then on, I made a few other apps, similar things, calculator type apps, and slowly moved up from coffee money to maybe
calculators
I could afford a meal once a month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, yeah, my big break in my development career, I'd say, was the iPad 2 of all things. Because the iPad 2 had a camera, but it was a pretty bad camera. It was only 720p, but it was backed by a very fast graphics processor. And at the time, I was experimenting with real-time processing for images on the Mac. And I don't know if you remember Camera Boost. I think you reviewed it a long time ago.
Does sound familiar.
Yeah, that was my first kind of serious app. It was actually the very first iPad camera app as well. And it was basically image filtering, that kind of thing. But it was real time, and you could adjust the filters and add more and more effects, as many as you wanted, and take photos.
That was my next question, because that's my principal question was, how did you get into photography, and then how did you get into astronomy apps? And I can see the progression.
Yes.
As you described it.
Yes.
How you kind of drifted into learning about photography slowly and built up to the point where you were ready to write Nightcap later. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Well, as it happens, Nightcap was actually an offshoot of Camera Boost because, I mean, at the time, more and more people, including myself, were using a phone instead of a traditional camera to take most of their photos. And the iPhones at that time were, in the daytime, they were good enough. You get pretty good results. But at night, the results were not so good, and you really needed a proper camera, and it was quite frustrating. So I'd been investigating that for Camera Boost, and I actually figured out how to get long exposures out of the camera on iOS. And it was, I added that into Camera Boost as a night mode feature. But when I'd done that and I took a look at what else was on the store, I realized nobody else had actually figured out how to do this.
Well, and the problem, as I understand it, is that you can't keep the shutter open on an iPhone. The API won't allow it.
No, it's always been limited. I mean, at the moment, it's 1/3 of a second. Right. On the earlier phones, it was actually 1 second, which was a bit better. But the problem was without the manual APIs, which didn't come until some years later, there was no way to actually set the shutter speed. And by default, it was limited to 1/15 of a second.
Is that about the time you were introducing Nightcap? Because that must have been a really serious limitation. Were you able to account for that in other ways, like fiddling with the ISO, or what did you do?
Well, I figured out how to actually get around this limit. And yes, so this was the night mode in Camera Boost. That's what it did. It enabled real long exposures for the first time. But I'd realized that nobody else had actually managed to figure this out. And as it happened, nobody else did for a couple of years afterwards. And so as I realized this, I figured that there was a niche market for a proper night photography app. And that's literally how Nightcap started.
How long did it take you to write the Nightcap, the original version?
It was actually probably done in a couple of weeks, plus time for testing.
That's because you had a software base for Camera Boost.
You could leverage
off of the source code for that, right?
Yeah. Plus the first app was very, very basic. It really didn't have much to it. It was a shutter button. There was a rudimentary kind of manual exposure control that half allowed you to control shutter speed. But apart from that, there weren't any features at all, really.
Have you been able to take advantage of the increase in ISO over the years? Has Has the ISO of the basic camera system improved dramatically, or has it stayed put?
I'd say it's varied more than it's improved or stayed put. Like, say, the iPhone 5 had a low light feature, and that had much higher ISO than other cameras. And more recent phones, I think they've dropped from 2,000 default maximum down to about 1,600. So it's actually reduced recently.
Why do you think that is?
I think that's because the variations in the actual sensor between different iPhone models. I think perhaps the newer ones are a bit more sensitive. They perhaps generate a bit more noise, and higher ISO will, of course, then increase that noise even more. So perhaps they've chosen a lower maximum because of that.
Are you thinking about changing over to Swift in the future? Just curious.
Yes. Actually, recently I've been working on a few new features for the app, which I won't say more about because things can change during the development.
Sure.
And actually, things have changed because I'm sure you've noticed that at WWDC this year, Apple announced that they're depreciating OpenGL. And Nightcap uses OpenGL extensively for all the image processing. So I kind of realized I'm going to have to rewrite the whole image processing part of the app, including the new features.
Which, what replaces OpenGL on the iPhone?
It's Metal. I've been working with Metal a lot recently, and I really love using Metal, especially compared to OpenGL, so I don't mind that too much.
Do you have to use Swift to access Metal, or can you do it then from Objective-C? I'm ignorant.
No, you can use it from either.
Okay.
This kind of forced me to have a proper look at the app state in general, and it's evolved from very early beginnings to what it is now. It's accumulated a lot of cruft over the years, I'd say, so it's probably in need of a real big reworking anyway, so I've decided to actually rewrite the whole thing in Swift and Metal.
I haven't had a chance to talk to too many developers who've engaged in a project like that. I'm very curious. How long do you think it will take to convert from Objective-C to Swift? And is it looking like a difficult prospect or something that's fairly easy?
I'd say it's not difficult. And on the other hand, it's not easy as well, because you need to rewrite everything. And Swift forces you to change how you work with some things as well. So it needs certain things. The design needs to change a little, let's say. But it's unpredictable, but I'd expect it's going to take a few months.
Okay. You told me before the show started that it didn't start out as your day job, but now it has.
No.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I started writing apps while I was working in IT. And it's something I was doing sort of evenings and weekends. And it ended up taking up all my free time, which I found actually I didn't mind because I was really enjoying the work. And it got to the point where I was able to leave my job. It was still kind of a big risk because if, say, a competitor had caught up or my sales had fallen for any reason, I would have been back to looking for a job very quickly.
I
knew it was what I wanted to do. I really love doing this. So I decided it was worth taking the risk. And that was over 5 years ago. So I've been full time since.
That risk sort of involves awareness of the app and, as you said, competition and growth in sales.
Yes. Yes.
How are people finding out about it? And is it an app that the everyday consumer finds and says, oh, I need this? Or is it kind of a niche app that only certain professional photographers would use? Tell me about that.
I think it's a bit of both. And I think actually most of my sales come from word of mouth now. If I didn't do any marketing at all, it would continue to sell at least short term. But as well as that, I think I'm very lucky because Apple seem to like the app. And they do feature it on the App Store around the world just now and again.
That helps. That really helps. So my next question was, does Apple treat you well as a developer? Obviously they have, and you're happy with the way the App Store is operating?
Yeah, I mean, of course there are ups and downs, and I'm sure you're aware developers always have some issue with how Apple's treating us or running the store. But yeah, I think on the whole we get a pretty good deal. And it's improved over the years as well. I mean, for example, in the early days, people used to leave a one-star rating on the store and say, the app's crashing, I can't get it to work, what can I do? And we can't reply to their question. But now it's changed and we can at least reply, we can help them. And
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time it's not app-related as well. They just need to restart their phone. But if you can't tell them, it's so frustrating. But yeah, so that's changed and improved. A lot of things have.
Tell me about the evolution of the naming of the app.
Yes. So, okay. Originally, we started off with Nightcap. And that kind of evolved from very humble beginnings. And it got more and more sort of serious photography tools. And over time, it had become quite complicated. And I decided to actually build a new app that would be simpler. And it would combine just the basic features of Nightcap, the long exposure, along with some more advanced image processing. And basically, the idea was to make it accessible for non-photographers so that the processing would perhaps make up for the lack of the more advanced camera controls, and it would be back to point and click. And this app was actually called Light Boost. And Light Boost, it did okay, but it was never as successful as Nightcap. And what I found was that a lot of people had both apps, and they were asking for the advanced features from Nightcap in Light Boost. So in the end, I actually decided that that was probably the most sensible thing to do. So I brought the advanced features from Nightcap and also manual camera control, which was possible then, and rebranded the app as Nightcap Pro. So Nightcap Pro also has a bit of a name change history behind it.
Tell me about that, because I was looking for a Nightcap camera. I was looking for a Nightcap Pro in the Apple Store the other day, and I only found Nightcap camera.
Yes.
So Pro has gone away. Tell me about that.
Yes, it's actually Nightcap that's gone away. What happened? I had two versions of the same app, effectively. It would have been a lot better as in-app purchase, but as you now know, that wasn't possible because we started with two apps. So it would have meant dropping either one or the other, and I didn't want to let the customers down in either case. So I ended up with Nightcap and Nightcap Pro side by side on the store for several years.
I saw that. I remember that now.
Yes. Yeah, but what I found was that they were competing with each other for some extent, and people were also confused by the two versions. So eventually I decided to drop the original Nightcap and just keep Nightcap Pro. And without the original version, it made sense to rebrand it as just Nightcap Camera, which is just simple for everyone.
It makes a lot of sense now. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're about out of time in the first segment. We need to take a break here. And the second half of the show, I want to ask you in more detail about some of the really cool technical aspects of this app. But folks, first we need a commercial break. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. I'm chatting with Chris Wood.
Hello there, all you fabulous Background Mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage where we have a section called Support TMO. Or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
Thank you. I'm chatting with Chris Wood, iOS developer of the Nightcap Camera app. And I wanted to ask you, When you have an app like this, especially one that Apple showcases, sometimes you get sort of a name for yourself in the community, in the photography community. People start talking about it, writing about it. Some maybe well-known photographers start using it. Has any of that happened to you?
Yeah, I suppose on and off over the years. I think it's actually more popular with the astronomy community now. Certainly initially in the early days of Nightcap itself, it was very popular with photographers because it was the only app that could do long exposure. So yeah, quite a lot of photographers were using it then. Nowadays, I suppose particularly manual is more common amongst apps. And the app is more used for astronomy, although it's still used for general use as well.
Do you find that there are everyday customers who are using iPhones for, you know, casual and vacation photography who discover that they want to take a night scene in Paris or somewhere where there's low light conditions and they say, oh, I found this app and it's just what I needed?
Yes, yeah. And actually, sometimes I get emails from people with a photo saying, just thank you for building this app. Oh. I can't believe I managed to take this on the iPhone, and that's incredibly rewarding.
That must feel good. That must feel
really
good.
Yeah. So that happens.
Tell me about the technical aspects of producing a low-light, long-exposure image. We mentioned in the first segment that the maximum shutter speed right now is a third of a second.
That's
and
right.
As I understand it, what you do is you take a sequence of exposures that are a third of a second, and what the astronomers call stacking. Tell me about how that works.
Yeah, so basically, instead of actually taking a series of photos, the app actually accesses the live camera data from the sensor. And as soon as each image is ready, which is every one third of a second in low light, then it gets the images and it stacks them. There's different techniques for doing so.
The phone does that, or you do that?
The phone does. Well, the app does that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How many can it stack?
It's unlimited because it's doing it continuously and in real time as the images are coming in.
Oh. So you just figure out a way to wrap a wrapper around it and access the stack?
Yes, kind of. It's literally adding each image in as it goes and then discarding it. So that each image, even at 8 megapixels, the way the app works in 16-bit color for high color quality, each image is 48 megabytes. And some of the older devices only have 256 megabytes. With the OS using most of that. So it's a challenge to get everything flowing through the app, not using much memory and still running quickly.
How do you account for, or do you account for, any jiggle or movement between frames that would affect the image?
Yeah, that I'd say is one of the differences between serious astrophotography software that you'd use on a desktop and the app. It doesn't account for any movement between frames.
Okay.
Whereas a desktop software would align the images so that if the camera moves, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So the specifications for Nightcat camera mention the use of artificial intelligence. Was that a big project? And tell me how you use AI to implement features.
It was. It was a big project. And actually, this is something that taught me a lot about app development. The reason for it, previously the app had a night mode button, and you tap the night mode button and that would enable longer exposure times and the camera would switch to one third of a second. You turn it off, it would go back to normal. But the problem with this was that we had a lot of customers who didn't know when to use it or what long exposures were. And if they turned night mode on when they were holding the device in their hand, they would blur the shot because it's a long exposure.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't turn it on, they'd get a dark photo. And on the other hand, we also have advanced photographers asking for even more control over this feature.
That's because they're probably smart enough to use a tripod, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Also manual control, perhaps. I was also getting feedback that the app was too complicated to use for a lot of people. So I decided to spend a lot of time just simplifying it. And I realized that night mode button was really pivotal, because that was what was causing a lot of the issues. And it was one thing that was difficult to explain to people when and where to use. So the solution I came up with was to get rid of the button entirely. And
as developers do.
Yeah, but of course I couldn't get rid of the feature because it was critical to the app. So the solution was to use AI. And the AI basically controls the camera using the manual controls. And it also monitors the environment, light levels, camera movements, and various other things. So if you're moving about, it will learn that it needs to use a short exposure and high ISO, or you will blur the shot. Whereas if you're using a tripod and you're pointing at a dark sky, it will know that it wants to use the longest exposure time possible.
How do you detect the presence of a tripod, or do you?
It's based on motion. So if the phone isn't moving, then it's in a tripod or it's in somewhere firm.
So do you access the accelerometer to figure that out?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it handles in between states as well, where if you're, say, leaning on a fence and holding it nice and firmly, then it will know it can use longer exposures, but maybe not very long.
I imagine there has to be a sense of technical satisfaction of exploiting the hardware, like the accelerometer, in order to produce something that's cool for the user. Hmm?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, there was a point where somebody actually asked, how come you've taken this feature away? I really wanted to use that feature, the night mode. And I said, it's still there, but it's all AI controlled now. You don't need to worry about it. It's automatic. And they were really blown away. And it's just so satisfying then.
I saw in the documentation that you're also able to, if I got this right, detect the presence of the night sky. Tell me about that.
Yes, it's using light levels and also angles more than anything else to determine that, rather than image processing, because actually processing the image to detect the night sky would really drain the battery very quickly.
Can you detect the absolute orientation of the camera in degrees tilt?
Yes, it's not super accurate, but yes.
That's cool. I didn't realize it was in there. I know there's an accelerometer, but I didn't know there was like an inclinometer that could detect the absolute angle.
Yeah, it's actually compass-based, but it's a three-dimensional compass, so it will give you...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it will give you full sort of three-dimensional which direction you're facing.
Okay, very cool. I also saw in the documentation that it has Apple Watch support. I'm guessing that's shutter control from the watch on a phone on the tripod?
That's it. It's you get a live preview of what's happening on the screen on the watch, and you get shutter control.
Oh, no, I haven't tried that. That's got to be cool.
Yeah, it's. I thought initially when Apple brought the watch out, I thought there's not much point supporting this. But then I had another think about it, and I realized a lot of my customers are using this for like Star Trails photos, where they leave their phone out for maybe 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 6 or 7 hours. And when that's happening, it's great if you can sit inside in the warmth and you just look at your watch now and again and see how it's doing.
See if you caught any meteors or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But as well as that, people have found unexpected uses. Like people use the app for light painting. And if you're doing light painting, it's very hard to know what you're doing if you're taking the photo and trying to light paint at the same time.
Explain that. Is that where you have a nighttime scene where you have cars leaving light trails?
It's where you have a dark nighttime scene and you take a long exposure photo and you have some kind of light, usually an LED light pen or whatever. And you literally walk in front of the camera and you paint a picture with this light.
Oh.
And it paints the lines onto the long exposure. And you can do some really cool pictures. And actually, I learnt about this because Apple promoted the app once, because an artist was using the app. And what he was doing, he'd set the app up for a long exposure using light trails mode, so it records any light movements. And what he was doing, he'd start the app recording, walk in front of the camera, and then he'd watch what he was doing on the live preview on his watch so he could see the display. And then he'd paint so that he could see what he was painting.
Does the artist do that in free space, or do they do it against a wall to sort of constrain the light to a 2D environment? Or do they just do it freeform in the middle of the air?
Yeah, no, it's just freeform out in the outdoors in the middle of the air, sometimes in front of a river or something like that, so that you get the reflections and the lights in the water as well.
Do you have a gallery where there are photos of like that on display?
Yes, on the website, which is nightcapcamera.com, there's galleries for daytime, nighttime, and astronomy. And actually, almost all the photos on there now are taken by customers.
Excellent. Well, we're starting to run out of time, so we're going to have to wrap things up in a minute. I wanted to ask you, how much does Nightcap Camera cost?
Oh, it's $2 in the U.S. or local equivalent.
That's a pretty low price, just offhand.
Yes.
I think that's a great bargain. People should go snap this up.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there any features that are not secret that you're thinking about that you want to tell us about? Or I don't want to pry, but I want to give you a chance to tout, you know, any projects you might want to talk about.
Yes, not at the moment, although I'm working on improving the time-lapse features in particular. But at the moment, with rebuilding the app in Swift and Metal, that's kind of highest priority at the moment, so that's going to take some time. But I think that will also give me some opportunities to look at various features of the app as I re-implement them.
Right, so, right. So in addition to being able to access Metal, you suspect that Swift might give you an opportunity to do things you couldn't do before, right?
Yeah, I'd say Metal would rather than Swift, actually.
Okay.
But it's more that as I rewrite everything, I look again at how the feature was built and if it can be improved.
Excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Not in particular, no. Is there anything else you'd like to ask me?
I think I've run out of questions. I threw at you every technical question I could think of, and you've been brilliant. So thank you for explaining the app so well. Thank you for being on the show. It was a pleasure to meet you and to learn about an app that I've been using for a long time.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, good.
Tell the listeners how they can contact you if they wish.
Yes, so I'm on Twitter, and the account is Nightcap Camera. It's Nightcap App.
Okay.
Let me double check that. Also, the website, nightcapcamera.com. There's contact details on there.
All right.
I double checked Twitter. It is Nightcap App.
All right. I will put these links in the show notes.
Great.
And with that, we'll have to close. Thanks again for joining me. It's been a great show. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I've appreciated it.
And good luck. Folks, we'll be back next week. You've been listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode.